It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed at the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Lexo. How are you today?
I am doing awesome.
I am living the dream.
I'll tell you, it's about time.
September. It is September.
It is. I just can't hardly believe it.
Kids are back in school, full swing of things. It's back to the insane schedule, taxi driving services and all that good stuff, but can't complain.
Well, wouldn't
I
do you
could, any, and you wouldn't listen.
Wouldn't do you any good anyway, so might as well not. And today we have one of my absolute favorite topics.
I know. Says, well, you're going to have it all month long.
With tongue in cheek.
Folks, we have all kinds of just boring, repetitive stuff in the news. And Larry and I thought that this was a great time to talk about
Taxes.
We got Antifa, we got white supremacy, we got all this stuff that is constantly bombarding us in the news. We're probably sick of hearing about it. So let's talk about taxes, because that just may be a little bit more exciting.
It may be more exciting.
So for the next 4 weeks, we will be talking about taxes. We're going to make it interesting because we are just that good.
And how many different types of taxes are there, John?
Well, you kind of, now you're making me flip through my papers or jumping ahead of the schedule here, but I found a list of 97 taxes Americans pay every year.
Holy mackerel.
All right. But
that is ridiculous.
Some of the taxes, because I have different types of taxes here listed in broad categories.
But, well, I think the most prominent one that I talk to a lot of students about, yes, students, believe it, they're, you know, they have a 4-year college degree in heaven knows what, you know, chemistry, mathematics, sociology, whatever, mass communications, for example. And when I'm counseling them, then we start talking about, well, you're going to get a paycheck. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, they're getting, let's say, $20 an hour starting in their job. So they figure, you know, if they work 40 hours a week, they're going to bring home $800. And I went, whoops, we need to talk a little bit about that, because there are a number of mandatory, shall we say, taxes that come out of that before you get it, going from your gross income, which is the maximum amount that you're getting paid, down to your net income. And of course, the most favorite is the FICA and Medicare tax, which take a huge sum out of your paycheck. The FICA tax is 6.2%. The Medicare tax is 1.45%, probably going up. And of course, for those of us like John and myself, who are self-employed, we get to pay it twice, going in and coming out. So by the time you deduct that, you deduct the state tax. And oh, I know Illinois needs that almost 5% that they're getting now. So you know, that comes out, and there are just all kinds of taxes that we have to deal with.
Lots of fun.
And you get what's left.
Yeah, and I actually have a couple examples here that we'll go through in a little bit just to keep things exciting. And, well, it's actually kind of depressing, but we'll do our best to make it fun. So, in the news, before we get to taxes, a couple articles we saw. 7 things you should know about food prices. Well, we did a show a while back where we talked about inflation. It's a government statistic, so that means it's artificially kept low. If you're interested, you can go back to our podcast on www.thefinancialcafe.us to listen about that show. But we are eating, we are spending more money, Americans, we're spending more money eating out than we are on the food that we eat at home now. We have crossed that barrier, threshold, whatever you want to call it.
Somehow that does not surprise me, although I think there is a certain movement out there regarding eating healthy. And, you know, John, it is really difficult to eat healthy when you're eating out all the time. And eating healthy is more expensive than fast food and the stuff that we pick up along the way. So
I mean, like those burritos we grabbed this morning on the way in?
Yeah, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
So here they say food is generally getting more expensive. That's true. Just look at, you know, coffee, bread, and things like that. Now, there are some things that have gotten cheaper.
Not coffee.
Coffee is more expensive.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. We are eating a lot more. I know just restaurant prices and things. We went to Cracker Barrel. I had a couple gift cards from left over from Father's Day, so we took the family to Cracker Barrel.
That's a good thing.
Six people, Cracker Barrel, $50 in gift certificates, and I had to fork over some more cash because we didn't have enough on the gift cards.
Yeah, probably two or three times that.
So it was, I don't know how people, you know, based on this article here, and again, all these articles come from MarketWatch, so you can go out and pull them and read them. But yeah, that kind of surprised me. I was really surprised that we were spending more money on eating out. So a family of four with two children under five spent between $571 and $1,116 on food each month during 2015. Family with older kids spent, well, and I have Declan, who is crossing over to the, well, he is a teenager now, and he is in the older kid category, and yes, he does eat constantly.
A lot.
The same family with older kids spend between $657 and $1,300. So their suggestion was just keep your kids from growing up.
Yeah.
But an individual male between 19 and 50 spends between $172 and $346 monthly. This does not include eating out. So I'm looking at that number, that $1,300 number, and that's probably, I mean, you probably spend a little bit more because we got four kids, but yeah, that's a big chunk of the budget.
It seems a little low to me, but I guess it is dependent on what you're buying. Interestingly, as we said a minute ago, those who are trying to eat right and buying more fruits and vegetables and whatnot are paying a lot more when you go out and, you know, buy a tub of strawberries and you're paying $5 for not a lot of meal. It is expensive.
Yeah, and our vacation, one of our trips this year was to Michigan, and we got to do cherry picking and strawberry picking. We just happened to time it, luckily, just right. We caught both of them. And as you're alluding to, you know, it was really cheap for us to pick the strawberries and cherries and so forth. But then you look at what they cost, especially cherries. Holy mackerel.
especially.
Yes. Okay. So keeping with the food theme, so I love this article. And you know how I tongue-in-cheek always say that I'm never going to die?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to die.
That's good.
This is how much coffee you need to drink a day to live longer. And we had there was a similar article from another study that was done on this, but it says if you drink four cups a day, that's where you want to be.
Four cups?
Four cups. So I drink eight, so...
So you're going to live twice as long.
Exactly.
I like it.
Folks, you're going to be stuck with me for a long time.
Is that four cups of Highland Grog or, you know, coffee, my favorite, or decaf or regular?
I didn't say anything about decaf. It just said, link coffee to longevity. Another U.S.-based study found that four more cups of coffee a day led to an 18% lower risk of death. In a European study that followed 500,000 adults 35 years older for 16 and a half years, found the more coffee a person drank, the less likely they were dead by the end of the study. Drink up, folks.
I know there is some logic there. And on that note, we're going to thank the Chef Shop.
There we go.
For adding to our life. Chef Shop, located here in Edwardsville, thanks to Nancy and Scott, of course, Schneider, who own it. It's at 2320 Troy Road, Edwardsville, Illinois. The phone number is 618-659-9840. It's in a Snooks Plaza right next to Target. They're our underwriters and have been from the beginning of the show, which has been 13 going on, I guess, 14 months now at least in that neighborhood. So thanks to them. And, of course, their coffees are out of sight. You know, they have a wide variety of different types of coffees. We've tried them all. We've commented on them all. And we continue to drink all of those. So, and what better way to spend, you know, a morning with a little coffee with your cereal or your berries or yogurt or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, for dessert, a piece of fudge always comes into play. So they have, you know, so many different types of fudge, as well as the 80 types of popcorn. So for a snack later in the day, popcorn is not a bad way to go. Stop by and see them. Lots of sales going on. They have their pre-Christmas sale, I'm sure, going on right now, getting ready for the holidays. I hate to have even said that, you know, just prior to Labor Day, but we're here. So go by and see Scott, see Nancy, say hi at the Chef Shop. Tell them you heard us on the radio on the Financial Cafe. If they have any T-shirts left, you'll get one of those. If not, these wonderful thermal coffee mugs, imagine that, that we've been giving out. And they work great. I've been using mine since we got them, 6 months ago or so. And they keep that coffee nice and warm. So they'll keep John happy, you know, stay hot until he gets it all downed. And
Absolutely.
So give a holler out to them at the Chef Shop. Let them know that you heard us on the Financial Cafe. And John, I did hear, I hadn't had a chance to tell you this morning yet, but I did hear yesterday from a listener. So we'll give a call out to Lewis. If you're listening out there, Lewis, I appreciate the call. He had a couple of questions regarding retirement. Imagine that. And we're going to be visiting, exchanging some information on what he's doing with his 401k, 403b. He works in the healthcare area. So we'll be helping him out with a couple of questions that he's been a loyal listener and answered a number of the issues he had. But he thought, you know, it might be just time to get a professional opinion on what he's doing and if he's on track to that retirement and drinking lots of coffee and living longer. So
there we go.
We'll be in touch with him. So, hey, Lewis.
Very good. Okay, last article here. And what do you think about artificial intelligence? Okay, well, that says it all. I'll take it any way I can get it.
I haven't thought about that much, actually.
Really? Okay, well, AI is a big deal now. Robots and, I mean, there's just, it's amazing what's going on with artificial intelligence.
It is amazing.
How
it
they
is.
Are making these robots appear to be more and more human-like.
That's scary.
And Elon Musk, his comment was to be concerned about this. He says, if you're not concerned about AI safety, you should be, Musk recently tweeted. He is the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, and he's obviously very much involved with artificial intelligence. You got the cars now that they're trying to make that can drive on their own. I'm not even going to touch on the other category that I could have gone down.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay. Yeah. But folks, I'm thinking pretty much get the idea. But yes, mm-hmm. they even have that now.
I can only
now when I think imagine. About technology and, you know, what will the future look like? When I was a kid, one of the shows that I liked to watch, which was a cartoon, was The Jetsons.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Meet George Jetson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
There goes
a little. There are, I found a little article here, 8 far-out Jetson contraptions that actually exist today.
Isn't that amazing?
So these are things that we're watching as a kid. Number one, flying cars. We do have them now. Number two, if you remember, his boy Elroy had a little jetpack and got around that way. Mm-hmm. We have those now. Rosie, remember Rosie the robot?
Of course.
Yep. We have robots that do cleaning and all kinds of stuff going on now. The holograms. There was an episode there where they had a hologram. And we see those a lot now, like the Michael Jackson concert, where after he had passed, you know, after people have died, they use holograms to almost bring these people back to life, if you will.
And I think those are pretty cool because...
They're kind of freaky.
Well, they are a little freaky, but, you know, making the appearance of someone or something who may or may not still be alive, and it's just lifelike, so to speak.
3D printed food. There's an episode on the Jetsons where they had a whole wall of food items they could choose from. They stuck the card in the little computer thing, and voila, there was dinner. Well, 3D printed food exists now, folks. Smart shoes. There's an episode where George Jetson is trying to get himself healthy, and he's got these shoes with computer chips. They exist now. The example here was a ballerina with these specially fitted ballerina shoes that would record her movements and positioning, and then you go to the computer and review it, and it helps them learn how to position themselves better. And of course, the most popular one, which I remember as a kid, I thought was just the coolest thing, was wearing a watch that you could talk to somebody with, or a little PDA, you know, a little screen that you video conference and things like that. When I was a kid, I mean, that was just like, no way, they'll never be able to do that. And here we are.
So the question, which I'm going to pose, I don't have the answer, so we'll let our listeners see if they can dig it up, but what was the first show that brought the wristwatch with telephone and video? Was it the Jetsons, or maybe Maxwell Smart, or James Bond?
I was going to say James Bond.
Or you know, Star Trek, or... You know,
that's
going,
a good question.
You know,
what about The Saint? Remember that TV show?
Oh, yes, I do remember The Saint, yeah. I think it was voice only, but yeah. So the question is for our listeners to send in to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or lexo@nickelfinancial.com, or give us a call if you want, as Lewis did yesterday. What was the first show on television? So we're dating it, you know, that goes back to the early 50s. Didn't have television before that, but after, say, 1950, what was the first show that had a wristwatch type of device that had both audio and video for the person wearing it? And that's, I don't know, interesting question. I don't know what that has to do with finance, but we've come a long way since the 50s, John.
We're talking about taxes, so we're trying to make this interesting.
Yeah, we're trying. Keep going.
Okay. There is actually an ETF that you can buy for...
Taxes?
No, not taxes. Well, hopefully your ETF gets you lots of gains, and then you have some capital gains taxes. But for artificial intelligence, there is an ETF. It's BOTZ. B-O-T-Z is the ticker symbol.
Wow.
It's coming up on September 12th. It'll be its 1 year since inception date. And so far, since it's been incepted in September 12th, 2016, it is up almost 26%.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not saying that that's what you should buy, but if you are interested in artificial intelligence and would like to have some exposure, there's a nice little ETF that you can get there.
Well, John, you know, I was thinking about taxes, and I have one sure thing, and that is, you know, I put all my money in taxes because that's the only sure thing that keeps going up.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth there, and we'll touch on that. So when I look at artificial intelligence and I look at what is our TV shows, our movies presenting now that could kind of give a hint to what the future's like, I mean, you got to think about movies like The Terminator, you know, kind of the cyborg where you're blending human and robot into one being. And if you want to live forever and you don't drink coffee, that may be your option there. But I can see that being an issue. And I know in talking to like my pastor at my church and things like that, there is a lot of concern with the whole human robot blending, and it's kind of scary when you think about it.
It is actually kind of scary, and it kind of goes back many years.
A whole bunch of Arnold Schwarzeneggers walking around.
That is a scary thought.
I
see that, yeah. But, you know, when they started cryogenics in hopes of solving a lot of the diseases that people had and were dying from, and they were frozen, literally, like a popsicle, in hopes that when they were thawed out, their minds and bodies would still be working and they could cure them, because we have a lot of solutions to cancer and a number of other diseases now.
Buck Rogers. That's going to be my answer.
Buck Rogers. Okay. John says Buck Rogers. So any of you who are still looking for the first TV show that brought in a wristwatch, Dick Tracy. Dick, I don't know how far back Dick Tracy goes. We had one too. So it might be. So. But anyway, we digress.
Sorry.
Oh, gosh, taxes. I hate
history
taxes.
History of taxes.
Yeah, the government says
Can
we should be proud.
Can you tell me when the first federal income tax was enacted? I will say it was before you were born, I think.
Roman Empire.
No, federal income tax.
Oh.
So this is U.S. tax history. And yes,
I'd say,
that would be before you were born.
I'd say the 30s.
Nope.
Okay.
1913, you were born after that, right?
I was.
Okay.
Actually, it's the year my mom was born.
Oh, okay. 1913, the marginal tax rate from $0 of income to $20,000 was?
5%.
1%.
1%. It's what it should be today.
Income from $20,000 to $50,000 was 2%.
And that was a fortune back then.
$50,000 to $75,000 was 3%. $75,000 to $100,000 was 4%. $100,000 to $250,000 was 5%. And any $250,000 to $500,000 was 6%. And anything after that was 7%. 1913, first
federal income tax.
So, name some of the taxes. Name taxes that you can think that exist today that we pay.
Every time I turn around, there's another tax that we pay. Of course, federal is a big one.
Yeah, that's one of them on my list.
The FICA.
I got that one.
The Medicare
got
tax,
that one.
Certainly.
All right. You're 3 for 3.
The state tax.
4 for 4.
You have local income tax.
5 for 5.
We have unemployment tax paid by the company.
All right, I was looking at individual, but okay.
Okay, individual. All right, sales tax.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, big one on sales tax. You can't believe.
Oh, they just keep.
I spent, there's a calculation on your if you file a long form on your 1040 when you file for taxes, that allows you based on your income, a deduction for the sales tax that they estimate that you have paid, comes up with a specific number. And of course, it's easier to do that rather than keeping every receipt that you ever spend many money on, including burritos, John. Which is amazing, the tax on even on that. But if you added it all up, it is far and exceeds what that calculation allows. So certainly a sales tax is a huge one. Sometimes they have value-added taxes.
I didn't have that one.
Didn't have value-added. Okay. Let me think. Well, state tax.
We got that one.
Is one of them. We got that. Okay.
Did you say state or estate?
Estate.
Estate. Yes, estate. I have estate and gift tax on the list. And
yeah,
one more.
Estate and gift. And let's see, what's our other tax?
Do you rent or own?
Own.
So what do you pay?
Oh, real estate tax. Holy mackerel.
So what I did here in my infinite genius, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. So someone who makes $50,000 a year, married, filing jointly. They're smart. They save 5%. So then they're, after that, gets put away to savings. They're doing that on a pre-tax basis. So their taxable base would be $47,500. I then found a website that you put in your zip code, the taxable income, mm-hmm. and then it calculates your effective tax rate, standard deductions, and all that stuff.
Wow.
So the federal marginal tax rate for that person would be 15%. The FICA and Medicare is 7.65.
Mm-hmm.
State income tax, I had, because the presentation I'm doing, excuse me, is in Missouri, so the highest there is 6%. There was a, where did I come up with that? Oh, that was the real estate tax. I gave them a home with a value of $150,000, and the real estate tax, what they would owe on that. Nope, sorry, I gave him a home worth $100,000. The real estate tax worked out to be 1.5%. Then what I said was, okay, after all those are paid, this person had $30,000 left of, so we got mortgage, rent, utilities, those expenses are out of the way. Say they basically have $30,000 left over of disposable income. Half of that, I said, went to food, based on our numbers.
Not far off.
That would be reasonable. And there's no, for the most part, unless you're eating out and stuff, then I guess I could have factored that in. That would have been, actually make this number even higher. Mm-hmm. But let's say $15,000 is left over, so they've covered all their mortgage, real estate, utilities, their food. So everything else would be taxable, sale, applicable to sales tax. And the sales tax for, and this was for Cuba, Missouri, that's where I'll be doing a presentation here, worked out to be 7.48% of sales tax.
Wow.
So their marginal tax bracket for someone making $50,000, marginal tax bracket, is 37.65%.
I always said 40. Yeah, it's 40 cents on every dollar goes to taxes.
All right. Their effective tax rate, using the calculator that I found on the internet, their effective federal tax rate was 7.34, FICA was 7.65, state was 2.91. They did not have any local tax. Then their mortgage, their real estate tax was on the house of $100,000 was $600. The effective sales tax, was 2.36% based off the $47,000. So anyway, their effective tax rate was almost 22%. $10,200 of the $47,500 that they earned went to taxes.
And who says we're not overtaxed? That's ridiculous.
Now, let's go back to when, I mean, it's insane. Now, folks, just so you know, we will be harping on Social Security and all, you know, all the different things that they tax us on. And actually, at the end of this show, we'll talk about some great tax pet projects that are wonderful. But if you're not paying attention to this, these rates are going to go up. They're already talking about, there's a bill that's been proposed to raise the Social Security tax by another 2.38% to make up for the potential shortfall down the road. Okay, what is the Social Security, the money invested in, to then pay the benefits down the road?
Treasuries.
Do you know what treasuries earn?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Almost
just
nothing.
Just think, since the 1930s when Social Security was enacted, if they would have just done a diversified portfolio, maybe 20% equities and the rest in diversified bonds, the historical return on that type of investment would be 8%,
yes.
7%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot better than 2.
A lot better than 2. And in fact, we
wouldn't have an issue right now.
Well, we wouldn't have an issue, and we tell people all the time that, you know, I hate rules of thumb, John, you know that, but they do work in some cases. And in the case where we talk about putting away 12 to 15% of your gross, not your net, your gross income every year and investing in a well-diversified portfolio, then you will accumulate enough money to last your entire lifetime when you retire. Well, if you look at the FICA, tax for paying Social Security at 6.2%, so that's put in by the employee coming out of their paycheck, no choice on that. Another 6.2 paid by the employer. So basically 12.4% is going towards your retirement before you put a dollar away towards retirement. And had they invested it properly, there would be plenty of money there for you to retire and everybody else. And we wouldn't be talking about, you know, forget about Social Security. It's not going to be funding what you want. It might be 20% of what you need in retirement. And, oh, by the way, you know, you should be investing another 12 to 15% because the government doesn't know how to manage money.
And imagine if this individual that we're talking about was self-employed. They'd be paying another $3,600 because they had to pay twice for the FICA and Medicare taxes.
Yep. That's exactly right.
They get a little bit of a deduction on the return, but still, it cost another $2,500. That bumps this up to an effective tax rate very close, north of 25%.
Yeah, it's
great. I love our government, folks.
Crazy.
I love them. So anyway, I was looking at some of these sales taxes that are kind of indirect sales taxes that we pay. And that was my list of 97 taxes that Americans pay.
Wow.
Let's see, like a gun ownership permit.
Yep.
That's Gasoline tax. Oh, did you see how much a pack of cigarettes is going to cost in New York next year?
No.
$13.50.
For one pack of cigarettes.
For one pack of cigarettes.
Well, I'm glad I never smoked.
Now, there is a tax.
That is a tax.
That's a tax. I didn't even know this. This is kind of funny. A flush tax. Yes, this actually exists in some areas. All right, for me, I fish. I got to buy a fishing permit.
Yes, you do.
That's a tax.
That is a tax.
To import taxes, a hunting license, when you go to a hotel.
Yeah, hotel tax.
Inheritance, well, you mentioned estate.
Mm-hmm.
Those who don't pay enough in tax, well, we'll take care of that. We have the alternative minimum tax. That is 28%.
Yes, sir.
So for those, and more people are falling prey to that because they've never updated it. And
yeah, imagine they applied no inflation factor to that. So
vehicle registration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, licenses. You know, every year you pay a license tax.
You get a ticket for speeding or whatever. That's kind of a tax. Zoning permit fees. Workers' compensation taxes.
You know, John, the government says we should be proud of paying taxes.
They do.
And I'm so proud
that
I think that? The government, and I'm so proud, I think I could be just as proud for about a third of the money. Do you agree?
Yeah, it doesn't, for me to be proud of something, it doesn't actually involve money at all.
No, it doesn't.
So, anyway, folks, that's just kind of a quick little history of taxes, all the great things that we, all of the ones that we pay. Here are 24 outrageous facts about taxes in the United States that will blow your mind away.
All right, let's blow.
The U.S. tax code is now 3.8 million words long. If you took all of William Shakespeare's works and collected them together, the entire collection would only be about 900,000 words long. Okay, according to the National Taxpayer Union, they spend more than 7.6 billion hours complying with federal tax requirements. Imagine what our society would look like if all that time was spent on economical, profitable activities.
Imagine that.
75 years ago, the instructions for the 1040 were 2 pages long. Today, they are 189 pages long. There have been 4,428 changes to the tax code over the last decade. It is incredibly costly to change tax software, tax manuals, tax instruction books. According to the National Taxpayer Union, the IRS currently has 1,999 different publication forms, instruction sheets that you can download from the IRS website.
There is not enough time for any individual, family member, or even a tax professional to read all of that.
It gets better. It gets better.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It gets better,
yeah. All right, keep going.
Our tax system has become so complicated that it's almost impossible. There you go. Good segue. Impossible to file your taxes correctly. For example, back in 1998, Money Magazine had 46 different tax professionals complete a tax return for a hypothetical household. All 46 came up with a different result.
I have no question about that.
In 2009, PC World had 5 of the most popular tax preparation software websites prepare a tax return for a hypothetical household. All 5 of them came up with a different result.
Yep.
The IRS spends $2.45 for every $100 that it collects in taxes. According to the Tax Foundation, the average American has to work until April 17th just to pay the federal, state, and local taxes. Back in 1900, the Freedom Day, the day where the money that you earn is no longer going to taxes, was January 22nd.
Yeah, not everything's getting cheaper. That's
for
sure.
When the U.S. government first implemented a personal income tax, before you were born, we'll note for Larry,
yeah.
The vast majority of population paid a rate of just 1%, up to 7%. Residents of New Jersey pay $1.64 in tax for every dollar of federal spending they get back. The United States is the only nation on the planet that tries to tax citizens on what they earn in foreign countries. According to Forbes, the 400 highest earning Americans pay an average federal income tax rate of just 18%. Warren Buffett had an effective tax rate of just 17.4% in 2010. The top 200% of income earners in the United States pay approximately 86% of federal income taxes.
Okay, say that again.
The top 20%
of
all income earners in the United States pay approximately 86%.
That's the Pareto principle.
Yeah.
80-20 rule.
There you go. Yep. Sadly, as Bill Whittle has shown, you could take every single penny that every American earns above $250,000 and it would only fund about 38% of the federal budget. The United States has the highest corporate income tax rate in the world. We didn't even talk about that. Ireland has a corporate tax rate of 12.5%. This is causing thousands of corporations to move operations out of the United States and into other countries. Some tax havens are doing a booming business and setting up sham headquarters for U.S. corporations. For example, the city of Zug, Switzerland, only has a population of 26,000 people, but it is the headquarters for 30,000 companies.
Wow. What does this tell you?
In 1950, corporate taxes accounted for 30% of the federal revenue. In 2012, it'll be less than 7%. Do you think we have a tax problem or a spending problem?
We have both.
Well, yes, but
we have both.
So, let me finish this up. I only got five more to go. In a previous article, I discussed how many of the largest corporations make huge profits and pay less than nothing in taxes. ExxonMobil made $15 billion in taxes in 2009. I'm sorry, ExxonMobil paid $15 billion in taxes in 2009, but not a single penny went to the U.S. government.
Where'd it go?
Somewhere else.
Hmm. That would definitely have helped the budget in the U.S.
A little bit.
Yeah. I think they're a British-owned company now.
Many wealthy Americans hide enormous amounts of money outside the country to avoid paying taxes. According to the IMF, a total of $18 trillion is currently being hidden in offshore accounts. Mm.
Hmm. So, you have any more of those?
One more.
Okay. Let's do it.
Two more.
All right.
The number of traffic accidents spikes each year right around April 15th. The following is a recent Bloomberg article. Deaths from traffic accidents around April 15th, traditionally the last day to file individual income tax returns in the U.S., rose 6% on average on each of the last 30 years of tax filing days compared with the day during the week prior and a week later. According to everyone's in their house crying about what they're paying. That's why they're not driving. According to research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And the last one, most of the tax debate is focused on income taxes. But the truth is that Americans pay dozens of other taxes every single year. And we went through some of those.
Quite a few.
Taxes that they pay.
Well, you know, John, that a fine is a tax for doing wrong. And a tax is a fine for doing right. Think about it for a moment. And, you know, they're talking about simplifying the tax code. And one suggestion they had out there in order to simplify the tax collections, the IRS has a theory that they would make it much easier to use a tax form. They would only have two lines on it. The first one is, how much money did you make? And the second one is, send it in.
Yeah.
That about covers it.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think about it, folks, they call it a progressive tax. It's progressive on how they increase it. They continually find reasons to gradually increase the tax until, before you know it, we're where we are at now.
Let's go back. How much did you make? And just send it in.
You got to pay attention to these. This is your money. I am a big proponent of the consumption tax. Make it a flat tax on everything. So if you are, I mean, obviously food and stuff like that, I'm not sure if that would be subject to it, but a consumption tax of some sort, get rid of the federal tax code, get rid of state, get rid of the income tax. Let people do what they want to do with the money and then tax them at that point. Freedom can do amazing things. You look at the Social Security system, it's in dire straits because it has been mismanaged. Let people keep their money in retirement accounts and prepare for their retirement on their own. And guess what? if you're an idiot and you don't save for retirement, you don't get to retire. That's not part of the Constitution. Am I getting too political?
No,
I'm
not
getting
at all.
Worked up.
I like it.
I'm getting worked up. This is I hate, in true sense of the word, ignorance. Ignorance means that you don't pay attention to what's going on around you. And I think as a society, we are not paying attention to the amount of taxes that we're paying, how it's truly hurting us. I mean, someone who makes $50,000 a year, a quarter of that money is gone for tax purposes. Force our politicians to stop spending the money, stop, you know. The budget's a joke. I mean, every year we, oh, that was another
well,
one.
Well, there's a built-in increase. That's one thing many people don't realize, that the budgets that have been put in place through the infinite wisdom of our representatives and Congress people, senators and so forth, has an automatic, yes, I said automatic increase in spending every year, and it is built in. That's on every program, every line item. So no matter what you spent last year, we're going to give you more money to spend this year, even if you don't need it. So that's one thing that needs to get changed. You know, the budget should be the budget, and you don't get any increases unless you can justify it. And here is, yeah, the fiscal year budget for the U.S. John's holding up.
Yes, this is the life I lead. I actually have this form printed off.
He actually reads this stuff.
I read it. This is about 150 pages long. It's the fiscal year 2016 budget.
Wow.
Which then, because we are spending more than we're collecting. Try and do that with your household finances and see how long that lasts. But yep. For some reason, because the country can print money, here we are. So I went back the past three administrations, and each one of those was 8 years. So I'm going back three times eight, 24 years. When was the last time the federal government ran a surplus?
I'm going to say it was in the 80s.
Nope.
Okay. I'll buy it.
Year 2000.
No. Oh.
Clinton, his last 2 years, 1998, 1999, he started the trend. 1998, there was a surplus of 87.9. Wait. Let me take that back. Let me look at my notes here. Got some kind of chicken scratch going on. No. Yes. 87. Yeah, so he had it for 3 years in a row. 87.9 billion surplus. 1999, 157 billion. Year 2000 was 290 billion surplus. And then Bush came in 2001. And this is probably, I mean, the first year of a president, you're basically picking up the last year of the prior administration. So Bush's first year, he actually ran a surplus of $154 billion in 2001. After that, it has been deficit spending. So Clinton started off, at Clinton's 8 years, he was negative $481 billion. His first 6 years, 5 years, was negative, and then the last 3 years, he balanced the budget and actually turned it into a surplus. Bush came in his first year with a surplus, and then after that it was negative. So his net addition to the debt was $2.2 trillion over his 8 years. Obama's administration, he was actually the first president to cross into the $1 trillion deficit in a given year. His first year was a $1.41 trillion deficit. The total over his 8 years was over $7 trillion of debt added to the national debt. That's more than the other presidents combined.
All of the other presidents combined.
2017, Trump's first year is projected to be a $443 billion deficit.
Wow.
Okay, so when we say billions and trillions, it gets kind of confusing, but a billion is simply 10 100 millions. A trillion is 10 100 billions. If you spent $1 million a day since year zero, BC, AD, year zero, you spent $1 million a day, you still wouldn't get to $1 trillion today. That's how big a trillion is.
So it's a number that no one can fathom. They have no idea what it is.
We just throw the word around.
We throw the word around, and the impact, and I'm going to go back to the basics, John. The basics are you got to have a plan. And a big part of our plan.
You knew it was coming here. You knew we weren't going to get through a tax episode without the plan.
The plan. Part of the plan is it is something that you have in writing with specific time frames and objectives. You implement it and you monitor it. And a key part of financial planning is not only how much money do you have, how are you investing it, and is it going to be sufficient to provide for retirement, but what is the tax implication? I talk to a lot of individuals who say, well, I'm getting, you know, this much from Social Security, and if they're fortunate enough, which I'm not, but they're fortunate enough to have a pension, I'm getting, you know, $2,000 a month from my pension, and, you know, I have some invested assets, and I assume that. They totally, totally forget about the taxes. You know, there are taxes if you earn too much on Social Security. So the government, on the one hand, is paying you back the money that you put in for retirement and Social Security. But until you reach FRA, or full retirement age, you get taxed on that portion of the Social Security and gets reduced. Social Security, depending on your earnings, I've got something here that talks about paying tax on Social Security. That's another issue. You know, will your Social Security benefits be taxed? You know, you work decades to put the money away. You finally retire, and approximately 40% of all Social Security beneficiaries pay taxes on their benefits. Did you know that, John? 40%, almost half the people who receive Social Security pay taxes on it. And it's the sum of your adjusted gross income, includes non-taxable interest. Half of your Social Security benefit, over $25,000 for individuals or over $32,000 for couples, then you pay on up to 50% of your Social Security. So, you know, you're getting money on, it's a left-hand, right-hand type deal. They're paying you money on the left hand from Social Security, and they're turning around and taxing it on the other hand, taking it back. So, you know, planning is the key. You know, have a plan. Have specific time frames, objectives. Make sure you factor in income tax, other earnings taxes and whatnot, and do some planning, because harvesting, as we talk about, I'm not talking about grain in the field, but harvesting income and losses from investments is one way to avoid, literally, taxes in some cases. If we're talking capital gains tax, if you have investments over long term that have done well, and have earnings, you can sell those. Normally, if you've held them over 12 months, it's going to be a long-term capital gains tax. But if you have investments that have lost money and you sell them within the same calendar year, you can use those losses to offset the earnings and therefore not pay tax. So plan ahead for that. Also, people in retirement tell me, well, you know, we're going to have to buy a car in 5 years. Well, that's great, but depending, it doesn't matter if it's new or used or what it is, but you buy a $20,000 car, remember, you get to pay state tax on that. So state of Illinois, state of Missouri is right there holding out their hand to collect the tax. So on your car, you know, get to come up with maybe another $1,500 in taxes in addition to whatever you're paying for the vehicle. So value-added taxes, which is a good example of that. I'm not sure what value that's adding, but nevertheless, you get to pay.
It's lining some politician's pocket so they can take care of some pet project or whatever. Yeah, that's what it goes to.
That's about right.
So, how much time we have left?
Oh, about 12 minutes.
12 minutes. I have here top 20 worst ways the government wasted your tax dollars.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Okay, this came from CNS News. Swedish massages for rabbits. Massages for rabbits. $387,000.
Yeah, gotta have that.
The National Institute of Health paid this six-figure sum to the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine in order to discern whether Swedish massages would be helpful. It wasn't people doing the massages. They actually had robots. So there we go, artificial intelligence. This person, whoever did this, I hope they got some sort of hazard pay, but teaching mountain lions to ride a treadmill, $856,000. Why? Okay. This one makes me laugh.
This is fantasy, right, John?
This one actually, you know, okay. We know it's true. Studying how many times, you know what a hangry person is?
Sure.
That's a hungry, angry person.
Yep.
My wife gets very hangry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But anyway, how many times a hangry person will stab a voodoo doll? So they spent $331,000 on this. I mean, they probably could have been able to. But anyway, over the course of 21 consecutive evenings, 107 couples were given a chance to stick up to 51 pins into a voodoo doll representing their spouse. The pin pushing happened in secret away from the other partner. Participants then recorded the number of pins they poked into the dolls. Those tests revealed what many already believed to be obvious, that yes, a hangry person will stick pins in a voodoo doll.
My first question is, who has voodoo dolls anymore?
Oh, yeah, well, you know what? I did overlook that because I was just laughing. Yeah, you were, I was laughing too hard. Studying the gambling habits of monkeys, $171,000 on that.
Yeah, great.
Subsidizing alpaca poop, $50,000. This can't be true. Synchronized swimming for sea monkeys, $307,524. The project garnered the support of three government agencies: National Science Foundation, Office of Naval Research, the U.S.-Israel Binational Science Foundation efforts to study the swirl created when sea monkeys move through water. Produce a hallucinatory Roosevelt Elvis show. We spent $10,000 on that. Funding, here we go. Funding climate change alarmist video game, $5.2 million.
And we paid for it.
Yep. There's an agenda.
Can't imagine who signed off on that.
There's a narrative. Yep. What year is it? Tell me what year that was in.
$5.2 million.
$2 million.
To
yes.
develop a
teaching
video
kids
game.
To laugh. You tickle them. Give me a buck. But we spent $47,000 on that one. That was the National Endowment for the Humanities funded classes at UCLA and Butler to teach college students about laughter.
Some fraternity came up with that one. And it was, never mind.
Developing a real-life Iron Man suit, $80 million.
Okay.
We spend $3 million a year tweeting at terrorists. Pay me. Pay me $100,000. I'll tweet all day.
At terrorists.
Predicting the end of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what if they
after
miss-
listening to this show, we may be closer than we spent $30,000 on that.
And what if they miss it?
$5 million teaching parents how to feed their kids fruits and vegetables. Lost electronic devices from NASA, $1.1 million. Studying if Wikipedia is sexist, $202,000.
$202,000. Okay.
We have government-funded ice cream. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
$1.2 million. In Wisconsin, in New York, a farmer cooperative and creamery received a grant to expand production and marketing of organic Greek yogurt. A Missouri farm will be using a grant it received to produce yogurt, but from sheep's milk. A farm in Pennsylvania received a grant as well to expand its yogurt business, but will use some of the money to build its Mexican chocolate business.
Of course they did.
So our taxes are going to Mexico.
Yeah, imagine that.
So, folks, that's it for the tax show today. Larry has some more stuff, but what to expect. Next week we're going to talk about estate tax. The 14th, we're going to discuss ways to reduce your taxes. Hopefully by then.
Please listen.
We will have you on our side of the table, realizing we don't need to be paying all this stuff in taxes. Mm-hmm. September 21st, we will get into what the FICA and Medicare, what do those taxes go to, and why are we running out of money?
And I think we covered that, John.
We will. What's that?
I think we covered that. They have idiots making decisions.
Oh, yeah. And the last... We're going to wrap all this up. And
we're going to have a tea party?
We're going to discuss the Boston Tea Party, what that was all about, with the amount of taxes that the... And really, a lot of that was more about the not necessarily the amount of the tax, though.
Taxation without representation.
There we go. So we're going to get into that. And hopefully we can get some people fired up to say, you know what? We need to figure this out. We need to have our government... Stop overreaching, stop growing so big because we're creating a monster that we will never be able to get rid of, and stop taking our money.
Well, it goes back, and we can touch on that in future shows because we only have about 5 minutes left. But, you know, what is the purpose of government?
Oh, boy. All right, we're going
to... So we're going to hold that for a future show. The government has certain...
I don't know if we're going to be able to do that one show. And they may take us off the air by the time
we're done. Well, that's okay. I won't tell them we're going to do it, so don't tell anybody.
All right, well, but, you know, it's a secret. We will not tell anybody.
The basic purpose of government, what should the basic needs be? And we talk about, and we haven't talked about, it's a dirty word to many, but entitlement. There are many people out there who feel entitled to receive benefits or receive different types of services and so forth. And I think
we have to go back and look at, really, I have to review the Constitution to say, okay, what are rights and what are privileges? Because that line was crossed a long time ago.
That line was crossed a long time ago, and now we're providing a lot of privileges which people feel entitled to receive. And you know, I don't mind, John. I really don't mind paying my fair share.
Right.
But when it funds things that you've been talking about the last 5 or 10 minutes, that I would like to see for every project that is approved, you know, what the purpose was and a list of who the people were who signed off on it.
You mean transparency?
Transparency. I'd like to know who's the senator, who's the representative who signed off on the programs that are out there.
What's the color of the sky in your fantasy world, Mr. Letzel?
Counting the number of walnuts that fall every hour from a pecan tree. You know, something crazy. So I think we need a lot more transparency. We'll cover the basic needs. It's ridiculous when you look at the things you're buying. We talked about cars a minute ago.
I think we're going to make Larry king for a day. That'll be a good show.
I could do that. I definitely could do that, John. We would reduce taxes. We would get rid of a lot of entitlements. People would have to actually work instead of just receiving benefits without working. I know I'm making a lot of people mad out there. Sorry, but it's just the way I feel. So, you know, I've got my opinion. You have yours. And, you know, even if mine's right, you know, it doesn't matter. So.
Opinions are like part of the anatomy. They all stink.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, think about it. I mean, I tell you what, I am all for defense spending, especially in light of recent events. I think the fact that defense spending has been cut, like the Star Wars project,
dangerous.
And some of those grandiose
very
ideas
dangerous.
That would really be nice to have right now that yep. these countries are getting nuclear missiles.
Very, very dangerous. Yeah. Well, defense is probably the number one, in my mind, aspect of federal government, their duty to defend, protect us as U.S. citizens. And then we get into the whole citizenship issue. Wow, we could be talking about this for a long time, John. But
I think we're going to go down that path because it sounds pretty interesting. I told you we'd make taxes interesting, folks.
Yeah.
We can talk about taxes. Larry's going to be king for a day.
Hey, if we got this solved. We're going to make it happen.
All going to drink coffee and live longer.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, America is a land of untold wealth. And most of it is untold on tax forms. So the rest.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today, because tomorrow there may be a tax on it.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Exactly.
Oh, I tell you. And the old favorite, you know, we've heard that forever. You know, what's the difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion? Jail.
A good attorney?
Yeah, jail. Don't want to go there. Thanks to the Chef Shop. What a. And they don't charge any more or any less tax, and they have to. So, you know, they don't make the rules. They just follow them. Thanks to Nancy. Thanks to Scott. That's been a very interesting show, John. We're going to talk more about that. But a big part of financial planning is managing taxes. And interesting thing there, it changes from year to year. I know, I remember a couple of years ago, wasn't very long, that the tax code was not released until after the year began. Makes tax planning a little tough. You know, if they don't tell you what's going to be taxed and what's going to be changed, that is a difficult area
think
to
about the state
plan.
Of Illinois.
Well,
or even
please,
our federal government.
Please
they don't.
I don't want to think about the state of Illinois.
Kept going.
Go by, see the Chef Shop. Think of something lovely to do, something to buy. You know,
coffee.
Look at the big green egg coffee. You'll live longer. and it'll be a great day in Edwardsville. This is The Financial Cafe. You can look us up at www.thefinancialcafe.us. Send us an email to lxo@nickelfinancial.com, jgraney@nickelfinancial.com. Thanks to Steve Jankowski, WSIE 88.7 FM, The Sound. Listen every day. You'll love the jazz. So say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lxo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.